When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, Vault Dwellers! Follow us as we take a topic from the Fallout universe and discuss it in a group of diverse individuals. We are the Fallout Roundtable. Join us, the conversation has already started.
Hey, welcome to this special edition of the Fallout Roundtable. We are going to call this, I don't know, what should we call this? A deep dive into the Fallout TV show with the Fallout Roundtable. I don't know. I am your host, Sassy Lady. I don't know. Did you have another name?
I don't know. Episode Rewinds?
That was what we were going to do. Or maybe Fallout Replay, or I don't know, something.
Something like that, yeah.
So my co-host today is Eric Sulior, and remind us where you are from, besides the Fallout Roundtable, since you are now a host.
so many places. Tapes from the Wastes. I got a lot of other Bethesda-related podcasts. You and I are both on the Modus Files. So many places.
And we're both going to be on the upcoming Mistress of Mysteries,
yes,
with Valtis. We're very excited about being awarded roles in the upcoming Mistress of Mysteries. So we're very excited to be working with Valtis because he is amazing. So anyway, I'll just plug the Fallout Roundtable. You can find us on Twitter at FalloutRTB. You can email us FalloutRTB@gmail.com. We are on Twitch. We usually stream Thursday evenings around 8:30 Eastern time. And you won't hear this beforehand, but we are having a pretty exciting guest tonight. So you can go back and watch the replay, or you can catch us on YouTube at Fallout Roundtable, and you'll catch our exciting guest, who is the creator of Nuka Break, none other than Zach Finfrock himself. So I'm really excited. Looking forward
I'm
to
so
doing
excited
that tonight.
To hear that. I hate that I can't be here for it.
Yeah, and I'm going to have Jessica Starr on with me tonight too. So.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about that because I love having Jess on. She's so much fun.
She's the best.
Yes. A friend of all the shows and one of the hardest working women in Fallout. So
I really don't know how she does it all.
I don't know either. I don't think she sleeps. I think she's a synth.
So. Yeah.
Because somehow she still has a day job and, you know, other real life things that she does. So I don't know how she does it. So today, this is our inaugural episode. We're going to be talking about the first episode of the Fallout TV show. Now, I know everybody has binged it probably three times at least by now, but we want to, like, you know, just kind of go into all the little details and Easter eggs that we found and kind of tear it apart and maybe compare it to our theories that we had. You know, were we right? Were we way off base? Were we in the right direction? And we did our prediction show of what we thought was going to happen in the Fallout TV show. I thought it was interesting, you know, kind of how just in our knowledge of Fallout lore in general, like,
yeah,
we kind of were on base on some things.
Yeah,
and then
there,
what
there
we
was...
think.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I just what we think in general about how they did with locations, creatures, and everything.
Yeah, even in that first episode, there were so many things from the trailers that made sense. And once you watched it, it's like, where to begin?
I feel like, too, the trailers kind of were a little misleading in some areas. Like, the way that they put the trailers together made you, like, they misdirected you. And you were like, oh, okay, sneaky people there.
A little bit, yeah. Like the riot scene. You're like, okay, what is going on here? Like, what caused these people to lose their minds?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, why was
And
everybody
then,
fighting in the vault? And, of course, you find out it makes perfect sense.
yeah.
But in the trailer, you were just like, whoa.
Well, and it's like a lot of the things that people were losing their minds over makes sense once you watch the show. But
Well,
yeah, we'll get to those when we get to those
when we get to
scenes.
those,
But
yeah, because I mean, there's 8 episodes and we've both seen them all now, and I'm in the process of rewatching and taking copious notes on the later ones because I've only seen through like episode 4 like twice at least, some of them
yeah.
3 times.
Well,
So
and you mentioned Jessica Starr earlier. She brought up something very important. Like, you really need to watch this with headphones because you hear so much more
yeah, you do.
after rewatching. Like, I watched the last 2 or 3 episodes with headphones because I was at work. But yeah, it does make a difference. Like, hearing all those different sound bites and effects. You wouldn't really notice it without them.
Yeah, I was listening to him with headphones because I tend to stay up later than my husband. He goes to bed early, and so I was watching them on my iPad, but I had a headset in, so that I wouldn't disturb him and he could sleep. So yeah, you do notice a lot, just, and it really adds to the ambiance, and you notice all the sounds that they pull in from the games, and it's so cool. You feel like you're in the game. It's cool.
Yeah.
Very neat. So when they say, when they joke about it being Fallout 5, we know it's not Fallout 5, but it's like watching a live action playthrough, maybe. I don't know, it's neat.
To an extent, yeah.
It's
I mean,
really cool.
I get that comparison, but at the same time, that was almost kind of bait.
Bait, yeah,
It's
for sure. I mean, it just
like,
makes us want another game. Like,
yeah.
it'll be really bad. So
It.
let's dive right
All
in.
right.
So, opening with the very, we open up to a beautiful day. It's a, of course, we all know it's going to be October 23rd, 2077. It's a beautiful Saturday morning in presumably LA, and it opens up to a birthday party with the song Orange Colored Sky by Nat King Cole. And it's
That
such
was great.
a fun tune that we're all familiar with from the Fallout series. We love these songs, we love this music, and they open up with this great tune, and we see a cowboy doing rope tricks on his horse for a birthday party of kids. He's got a little girl with him, dressed very similarly to him as his little helper.
Yeah,
And
it was
what do we
all
find
tech
out?
colors too. Yeah, it's like,
Yeah, that was the thing. That was like the big Easter egg. His colors are blue and gold, typical Vault Tech colors. And you see his blue shirt with his gold fringe, and he's total cowboy, and he's doing his tricks. But what else do we see that's very easy to miss if you're not really paying attention or you're not a Fallout super fan that's seen all the games? What's the next thing we see? We're panning through this lady's house.
I mean, he's on the he's in the I mean, it's a birthday party,
He's
so
in the
yeah.
backyard with the kids. And then they pan through the house. The lady, the radio's playing.
Oh,
The
right,
news
and it
announcer is talking about our missing president and how the
yep.
White House has no word, no comment on the missing president. Well, we know,
We know what happened.
as Fallout people, where's the president?
Underground.
Well, he's on the oil rig, isn't he?
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
He's
sorry.
on the oil rig. If you
But
played
yeah,
Fallout
that was a
1,
nice little
that was
yeah.
a little Easter egg for Fallout players. Like, if you're a person that's never played the game, you're not familiar with the Fallout lore, and you hear that, it might not really, it might be kind of a
Register, yeah.
whatever interesting thing, but you're not sitting there inside going, "Oh my God, oh my God, I know where he is."
I gotta admit though, I was really hoping that the TV personality would be Ron Perlman.
Right. Like
But
on Fallout 4, where you see the
yeah.
guy giving the news, but it wasn't. I don't know who that
Yeah, there's
was.
probably something.
Yeah, but she
I'm
walks
sure they
into,
wanted to.
she turns the radio off because I guess she decides it's a birthday party. We don't need all this negativity. She walks into the living room and there's other adults watching the news and it's similar reports. They're talking about the 10-year-long war and stuff going on in
Yeah.
Anchorage. And she says, only happy thoughts today. And she turns the TV off. But she passes a Mr. Handy. And I'm like,
Yeah.
that's cool. She has a Mr. Handy. She's not using him, but
No, but you know, that is a
you
nice
know,
little
it
thing,
was
like,
it.
you know, Codsworth in Fallout 4.
Yeah, it was a very cool touch. It was a little nice little Easter egg for us that yes, Mr. Handy was present in most people's
So we
homes.
know this was a rich person's
Yeah.
house.
Yeah. Well-to-do people,
Yeah.
probably.
Especially with it being like on a like a mountaintop almost, with like the glass walls and
Oh yes, they're very contemporary home with their pool
yeah.
and yeah, that
And the
was
fact
a
that they can
very,
afford Cooper Howard.
very nice home. Yeah, and they could afford, yes, they could afford Cooper Hauer, which was a joke
Yeah,
that adults
the guys
made.
were like, you know, what's he doing birthday parties, this big time movie star?
Well, they were commenting on how he has obviously fallen to
Yeah.
doing birthday parties. They're like, well, what's got him doing that? And the one does alimony.
Yeah.
So we know that something has happened and he and his wife aren't together anymore because if you're paying alimony, you're not together.
Right.
So that's a kind of a little nugget there.
Foreshadowing, yeah.
Yeah, foreshadowing. It's a little kind of a nugget into his background or his persona, his history, his emotional well-being. I don't know. But
Yeah.
he's with his daughter. And, you know, of course, she's, Daddy, what are they talking about? Oh, just that I have the best little helper. You know, because he's still a very positive. That's one thing that I noticed about him. He's a very nice man. He's a very upbeat, positive. He's a nice guy. He's nice to everybody. And that was one thing that I noticed about him off the bat. And, but they're talking about how he's kind of washed up. So,
I mean, it could just be for show at this point with him being at a birthday party. He doesn't want to bring the
yeah, probably
party
not wanting to
down.
make a big deal in front of a bunch of kids. You know, you don't want to like get in a fight with some, you know, kid's dad in the
Yeah.
middle of a birthday party. That is, yeah. At this point, yeah, this is, yeah, you're probably just like, he could be a nice guy or he could just be behaving because his daughter's there.
Yeah.
But the guy's
But
needling him. He's like, oh, let's take your picture, put the thumbs up.
yeah, and
And
he's like, yeah, I don't do that much
it's
anymore,
like,
which that was a nice little
not after everything
bit
that's
of
happened. So that's
foreshadowing
another
too.
foreshadowing
Yeah.
what's happened that he
And
doesn't
she's
want to,
like,
because that's what he's famous for, they
yeah.
say.
And
Thumbs
she's like,
up.
why won't you do it? And
Right.
his
Why won't
daughter's
you do
like,
it, Daddy? So instead of explaining why he won't do it, he tells her the story
yeah.
about, well, when I was in the Marines, they taught us when you put your thumb up, when you see a bomb, and if it's smaller than your thumb, then you run for the hills. She says, well, what if it's bigger? He says, then you don't bother running. So
Which
that.
is something us Fallout fans knew, but you know,
We
it's nice
knew.
that they set that up for people who may not be familiar with the series.
Exactly. Yeah. Because people who aren't fans or who've never played the game or don't know any lore, they're probably like, what is up with the thumbs up? Why are they always with the thumbs up? You
Yeah,
know, like,
why is the mascot always doing that with a
right.
smile on his face?
Right. And when they fight, but then the thing is, now that you do know that, then it's why does he have a smile on his face? You see a bomb and you're just like, I'm gonna slap you. And I mean, so then we take a, you know, we take a little turn. We see the weatherman on the TV because the kids are all gathering around the TV because they're gonna watch some Grognak, right? Which
Yeah,
was cool to see.
it
Seeing Grognak was really cool. So they're gonna
was
watch some Grognak, but the weatherman's on. And this poor weatherman, he's talking about how it's going to be sunny and da da. And then he's like, I don't know if I can do this. you know, we don't even know that we're going to have a next week.
Right. Yeah. Which is like,
and nobody okay. reacts to this. They're not like, wait, why? They just change the channel to find the crap. And we see a Nuka-Cola commercial. We see a Sugar Bombs commercial. And mm-hmm. then we see the Grognak, you know, part of the Grognak episode, which is fun. So the birthday party's progressing. Janie asks for a piece of cake from her dad. So he says, well, let me go in and see if I can rustle you up a piece of cake. And then it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Big old
and she puts her thumb up.
blinding light. She holds her thumb up. She gets this look of concern on her face. Well, the camera's on her face, but remember, this is a glass house. So we see everything
see the light.
She sees
yeah.
in the reflection, which is frightening. So dad comes out and she's like, was that your thumb or my thumb? And you see in the reflection, and I'm thinking, oh, honey, doesn't matter whose thumb right now.
Right.
And then he turns around and he looks and you see the look on his face.
Yeah, he's like, oh, shit.
And he tries to convince her that, well, oh, that's just smoke. That's just a fire. And then they show us the cloud as it yep. grows into a bigger mushroom. And we see typical classic nuke mm-hmm. mushroom cloud.
I think there was at least a second or third one as well.
Not yet. It's just this one that's just still blossoming. And we're like, oh, no, that's not a fire.
Nope.
And he's just, you know, he's still looking at it with horror. He's just standing there just looking at it with his look of horror on his face. And then you see the shockwave coming. You can watch it travel as it's knocking down everything in its path. And eventually it gets to them and it's like knocks down everything,
mm-hmm.
throws the furniture into the pool. It breaks the walls, the glass
yep.
in the walls, and everybody ducks and he grabs Janie and you see a fight. The owner of the house has
yeah,
a
the
bomb
buddies
shelter.
Who are talking to each other about
yeah, his best friend
Cooper being
seemingly.
Washed up and yeah.
His seemingly best friend is like, hey, let us in. And he's like, no room, and punches him in the face. This is how, you know, people were. You know, he ushers his family in there. He boots everybody else out. So everybody's just running like crazy. So that whole, if it's bigger than your thumb, don't bother to run. This is where human nature takes over. This is fight or
fight
flight.
Or flight, yep.
And so Cooper grabs his daughter, throws her on the back of the horse, and they take off. And this is where you start to see all the other bombs going off. There's just boom, boom,
yeah.
boom, boom all around them. But he's still riding for his life, trying to get her somewhere. And that's where we see the end of that. We don't know where they're going. We don't know if they make it. You just see all this destruction. And then it says 219 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we're playing Don't Let the Stars get in your eyes, and then we're in Vault 33 and we see Lucy
yeah.
going over her special stats and her skills. Anybody ever done that?
Yeah, it's like it wasn't quite like a lot of the comparisons I have made with the show had been with Fallout 3, but which we'll get into that later.
A lot of
but...
comparison. Yeah, a lot of people. So, like, I see a lot of 3 and I see a lot of 4.
See a lot of 4 too, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, I see a lot of those both.
But yeah, the way she's like, because again, as somebody who isn't familiar with the series, they have no idea what the special stats are.
No, which is probably why they, changed. Didn't like call things by their really so like she's
yeah.
like I do gymnastics, I you know I'm skilled in archery,
athletics.
Blah blah whatever, you know. Yeah,
agility.
So they don't call it what we would call it,
but
I love when
it
she says
nice.
that she has her skill in shooting or whatever, but she's not very good at it, and yet she's got bullseye targets,
which means she's got low perception or
no, she's got good perception.
She said she wasn't good at guns. I thought maybe that
she said
okay.
she wasn't, but yet she like killed the heck out of that target.
Oh,
It hit
right.
every bullseye. So I think she was trying to be modest. She's like, I'm
Okay.
not very good. Probably because, you know, if you're trying to sell yourself as a bride, you don't want to
But
be better than your man.
of
So I'm not
all the
very good
weapons
at
she
it.
could choose later on, why would she go with a syringer? But I mean, we'll get to that.
Because I think that's all that was left. Remember when you, yeah, that's later. Plus, she's also very anti-violence.
Yeah,
I
which
mean, the
if
vault was
you,
raised to not believe in violence, I think. So
I don't know if you play Fallout Shelter, but they've
I
introduced these
do.
characters
And
into the
she has
game
the,
and she
yeah.
has the syringer.
So I haven't played Shelter in a while. But of course, when I saw that they were adding those the Vault
Yeah.
33 and Max and everybody, I of course had to get in there and get the,
I
and she
haven't gotten
has,
Max yet. I need to
she ha
level
I
up the
haven't either.
gold,
I've just got
but
Lucy, but she comes with her syringer
yeah.
and her little vault suit. And I was like so glad
But
that they didn't change those, you know, like when you put them in, they have cool outfits and then they put them in the vault and they all change their outfits. I'm glad they didn't change her outfit.
No, not throughout the entire show,
I
she's
was
wearing a
like,
vault
don't
suit.
change her. No, in the shelter.
Oh, in the
You know, because
shelter.
every time they come up to the door and you're like, oh, cool outfit. And then they put them in the vault and they change into a vault outfit. And you're like, oh, man.
Oh, right.
They didn't
Yeah,
change her
that's
outfit. I was
true.
like, yay,
Well,
don't
I
change her
think
outfit.
Preston still wears his duster too.
I don't remember. It's been so long since I've gotten him. I don't remember.
But yeah, she's going through her special stats for the council, which the one of the women on the council is the lady who plays Blind Al in the Deadpool movies. I noticed that was it Leslie something. So I was like, wait, I know her.
Betty. Yeah, Betty. And I can't remember the actress's name. Terrible about I'm
But
terrible about remembering actor names.
so yeah, I had to look her up because I was like, she plays
But
Blind
it was
Al.
funny because later in the show, when they were talking to someone else who we know from Codsworth, my husband's like, you know who that is, right? You know who that is. And I'm like, you not.
I love
Like,
how
can
they
we just
gave a
watch the show?
backstory to his voice too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she what she's doing is she's applying to become basically a trade bride or something, like a trade opportunity
For a
with Vault,
transfer
yeah, for Vault
program.
32. Yeah. She's like, you know, my reproductive organs work well, like all this
Yeah.
other like personal stuff. She's like, I
It's
would love to be able to take care of
it's
them.
so cringy in a way because she's like,
I haven't found a suitable partner that's not family,
that's not related to me.
which
Yeah.
that's also something I kind of put two and two together with Fallout Shelter,
Yeah.
is you only have so much space in the vault. As time goes on, like there has to be some sort of in, like you can't avoid it after, unless you kick people out or open the vault
So
up.
this was something. So when she talked, so back to her doing her interview, I found, you know, there were some Easter eggs here that were really neat. So she talks about herself. She's like, I enjoy spending time with my family. And you see her brother playing, what game was he playing? He was playing Atomic Command on his Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty fun. And
That's a
then
nice little nod too.
And then she's like, Dad and I, you know, we'll watch movies together. And they're watching a Cooper Howard film in the vault.
Oh,
So
right.
I thought that was really neat because it's like a nice little nugget. They're watching a Cooper Howard film in the vault, which we see later that the dad's like the killer fanboy anyway. And then we know that flash forward, she ends up meeting Cooper Howard
Right.
in the wasteland, so which is will be coming up shortly, but they're watching his film, and I don't know if she ever makes that connection. At
I
least
don't
she
think
never
so,
acts like
because they
it.
never she asks who he is and what he is and everything, but she
Yeah,
never
I don't think he ever
he never
explains.
says his birth name in the present.
Even at the end, yeah,
Yeah.
I don't think he ever like
He yeah, like
explains.
he kind of hints a little bit at his history, but he never like flat out tells
He never tells
what
his story. Yeah. And
it is.
she's kind of left in the dark and she doesn't really know, even though it's like she probably, I can't imagine they have too many movies in the vault. So she's probably seen this movie a lot, especially knowing that dad's a fan.
Right.
She's probably seen it a lot. So you would think that she would know if she knew who he was. But So, but one thing that I thought was the vault exchange idea is unique. Like, we've never seen this before
We've
in
never had
any
connected vaults
games.
before.
We've never had a connected vault. And at first, we didn't know they were connected. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, how is this going to work? How does this work? Do they like, they have to go out in the wasteland to like traverse? Because we know that like there are certain vaults that are within walking distance of each other from being in Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. I mean, they're fairly close. Like, you can get to them and travel. But this is the first time we've had connected vaults. There are three vaults connected with like a
Which we don't
little
know that there's three at
milieu
first. We just know
area.
that there's
We don't
two.
know that just yet, but it's kind of like, well, how else are they going to do
But
this exchange with another vault?
one thing I
But
also thought was interesting, though, is that they never gave her a vocal answer.
no,
They
they
gave it, they
didn't.
sent it to her Pip-Boy,
Right, they're all
which I
sitting
guess
at a
is
table
to.
in front of her and she's talking to them, but then they're all like doo, 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 on their Pip-Boy, and then she sees the answer come up with the appropriate Pip-Boy sounds, which was great. Bring,
Yeah, I guess they were just trying to establish what the
because
Pip-Boy
your
was,
application is
but.
approved, and she's oh, but nobody tells her, oh yeah, that's a great idea. I don't know if it was like a maybe a I don't know if it's like an anonymous voting system between the three of them.
Could
And
be.
that's what I kind of thought of when I watched it for the third time last night. I was like, maybe it's an anonymous vote. I don't know. Maybe that's why they do it on their Pip-Boy, because they're like, if somebody says no, they don't want to do it in front of everybody else. I don't know.
Just
So like,
you could just say it, but well, yeah, I mean, I guess that does make sense if they were
like
voting
if
and
it's
not
supposed to be
just
anonymous,
like,
because like then you don't want to hate on the
because
one
they weren't
person that
talking to
said
each other
no.
either. They, because if they were
Right. Like,
voting,
nobody
then
conferred. They weren't like, I don't know, what do you think, Marge? Should we do this? Because that's going to mean da da da, And I mean, I don't know. It was, and then the whole thing about like, she doesn't even know who she's going to meet. And she's supposed
no.
to marry this dude. Like, she doesn't even date him. They go straight into the wedding sequence. She's like getting all dolled up and she's got a dress, which the community dress thing I thought was cute. Everybody had signed the inside of this community dress, which of course is going to be one size fits all. So I
Which
thought, well, that's
do they
interesting.
show her in the dress in the garden area? I thought so, yeah, because she walked up to her dad who was working in the fields and.
Yeah. Well, they're getting the garden area, the little picnic area, whatever. They're getting it ready for the ceremony. Because it like immediately, like as soon as they approved it, like boom, she's getting ready for the wedding. So she's, boom, that's it. And they show her walking down the hallway. And I have to say that she talks about how the dress is a little tight. And then, her friend Stephanie says, oh, don't worry, it won't be on long. The joke was on point for Fallout humor. I thought it was fantastic. It might be, some people might find it distasteful, but I thought it was hilarious.
Which she's pregnant,
She is.
and yet, yeah,
She's the
so
pregnant
which
vault
that
dweller.
comes into play later, but
Yeah.
so.
And then, so she's all excited that, oh, we're gonna raise our kids together and and all these things, because
Which I will
I guess
say
that's
that
the
I
whole
did
point.
like the look of the vault suits. They were more like in Fallout 3, they reminded me of the ones in Fallout 3, which seemed to have a little bit more material to them. And
Yeah.
Fallout 4 and 76, they basically look like what, you know, what's the phrase? They're
Skin
just
tight.
like skin tight. Yeah, but like the material.
like a latex or
Kind
like
of.
a
But
neoprene or
spandex,
a
spandex.
spandex,
That's
yeah.
what I was thinking of. It's just like where there's like nothing hidden, but
Like second skin. I don't know.
these do seem to have a little bit of material to them, or like weight to them.
Yeah.
So
Which, I mean, considering that they wear these every day for
it's like,
everything.
which that's something I never really
I never
understood
understood
either. Like,
that. I
why
mean,
can't they wear
if they
anything
wear
aside from
these,
the vaults? It's
what's the point of wearing a wedding dress? That, I mean, I guess because it's so symbolic, but they don't wear
It's like, we
any
all know
other.
you live in Vault 33, but
And then I guess you change your number when you move. Because
yeah,
dad's from Vault 31, but he wears a 33 suit.
right.
So
And we find out later on that the blonde is from a different vault
she's,
also,
yeah.
but
So like anytime they would do this wedding exchange vault where they would move somebody in so that they could marry and hopefully keep the gene pool a little diluted, that they would just adopt that number, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting.
So yeah, this is when we find out that the vaults are connected.
Yeah,
because they all just march across the hall. 32, yeah.
And go meet 32 at their door, which the first thing that, okay, so then we find out that because the gatekeeper is Cousin Chet, and he tries to play off that there's something wrong with the door because, well, I love you, Lucy. And she's like, everybody knows that.
Yeah. It's like she had a guy who was pursuing her, and I guess she never really thought of him that way. I don't know.
But he's a cousin. That's why.
Oh, right.
Remember, he's Cousin Chet, and she's like,
yeah, that's right.
She's
it's
like,
hard to keep that trip.
Cousin straight. Things are okay when we're kids, but they don't make a sustainable sexual whatever future, you know? And he's like, yeah, I get it. And then he opens the door. But, you know, because I mean, it's not that she probably wouldn't have loved him if he wasn't related, but.
Right.
You know, they have rules against that for a reason, which she pointed out during her interview.
Which, back to Fallout Shelter, you can't get relatives together in that game.
Yeah, they'll just stand there and talk all day long. They won't ever actually get jiggy with it. And that's kind of funny because, you try it because I've done that by accident. Stand there and talk. And I'm like, oh, that's right. He's her kid. So that's when I started putting people's last names on there so I would know who was what.
I will say I've got 3Dog in mine. And
I do too. Damn, he's on my radio station.
Yeah, he is. He doesn't
Big
take
Papa?
Long. Yeah.
Well, he's got that high charisma.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they all have to have high charisma to get it on.
He's got so many kids in my vault, it's not even funny.
I wonder how the real 3Dog would feel about that.
I don't know. I'm sure he'd be okay.
The thing that I wondered was, if they're interconnected vaults, why do they bother sealing off from each other?
I don't know. I was just thinking
because
that
they
myself.
Don't have to go outside. So why don't they just keep them open and then everybody can just intermingle and get to know each other?
Once they did go into Vault 32, though, wasn't there a section that had some corpses?
Well, this is, so when they go to meet the groom, 32 comes to them for the wedding.
Right. So maybe they didn't want people from 33 seeing that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, in an ideal world, if nothing had gone wrong, why are they sequestered? And I'm sure it's got something to do with their experiments or whatever. But it just seemed interesting because we've never seen interconnected vaults before. So the first thing that struck me, so when they open Vault 32 and the new overseer, because the first thing they say is, oh, we're sorry to hear about your overseer's passing. And then she talks about, you know, some kind of blight that they had and people, you know, losing people because apparently they've, you know, had a hard time of it. So they're going to get some seed and some equipment from Vault 33 in exchange for a breeder. But the first thing that I notice is their new overseer. I'm like, we've seen this woman before.
Yeah, we saw her in the trailers.
We saw her in the trailers. And when we did our prediction episode, we predicted that she was NCR. So I'm like, how is she in the vault? Like,
yeah,
because
you do see her outside the vault. Yeah, in the
trailer. Wait a minute. In the trailer, she wasn't in a vault. Why is she in a vault now? Like, I was confused. I was like, I know that's the same woman. I even went back and pulled up the picture that I took, and I was like, I know that's the woman. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. We got to know what's happening. So she's the overseer of 32. So they all go to the wedding, and they do this whole thing. So, and this is where I said, there is something up with the 32 dwellers. They have horrible manners.
Yep.
Stealing food from a pregnant woman? Come on. They're all tatted up. We don't see that on Vault Dwellers.
No.
And so I'm like, what is up with them? And then, you know, my second or third viewing, I'm like, they aren't wearing Pit Boys.
Yeah, which I didn't notice at first until I was present at the beginning and end of the Modus Files fan watch along thing. I wasn't there for the recording part, but Chris Chris brought that up. I was like, oh yeah, I didn't even notice that at first. But
Well,
it's
once I
so
noticed there was
subtle and
something weird about them, and then, like, in the first viewing, I didn't notice it, but after you see what's going on in 32, and then you go back and watch it again, and then I'm looking closely at these people, and it's like nobody has a pit boy on except the overseer.
Yeah, there's so many little subtle hints that something is off.
That just screams that there's something wrong, and then none of the 33ers pick up on it. Nobody except Norm thinks like he must know that something's up because then he
Norm,
starts checking in.
they did post a video on where the cast gives out what their special stats are.
Right.
And Norm, I don't remember if he was part of it, but he
I
has to
didn't
have
see
like high
his.
intelligence and perception
He has to. He has
because
to have high
he is the
intelligence and
one
perception.
that the whole show is like something is going
Right. And
on.
he
This
keeps
isn't
picking up on
right.
things. Yeah. And he's the one who's like putting the stuff together and pointing the things out. And yeah. So, and you know, and everybody's got their eye on him, I feel like. But he's the one who starts to kind of look around at things during the dinner. So he sneaks off. And he goes over to Vault 32 during the dinner while it's empty because they're all at the party. And he starts walking around and he's like, hello, hello. He sees that their cornfields are completely dead and trampled. He sees that there's just like a mess of stuff over in 32. Furniture's upended and all kinds of weird stuff's going on. And he finally finds a corpse in the nursery. When he sees that, he's like, boom, I'm out of here. So he knows that something is going on in 32.
So, yeah, they had the wedding, and then she, brings him
So
home. It's like,
while Norm is in the vault, then here's Lucy and
and she's like, oh, welcome home. And, it's a great little house. He just was like, while she's turned around in the kitchen, he strips off. And while I'm like, I said this earlier, a lot of people were probably focusing on his ass. I noticed the scars all over his body. And I'm like, okay, this is when I'm like, okay, something's off with these people.
I thought the same thing because I'm like, the dude's got bullet wounds
He's
on
got
his
this
back.
really long
Like
scar on his side, and I'm
there's
like,
something
where did
like
that come from?
he shouldn't have that, right? So I'm thinking, but you know, Lucy's all
And she's like, all right, well,
okie
let's
dokie.
do it. Let's get it on.
And you know, so of course, you know, she's all, you know, wedding night
She didn't take the
bud.
dress off either, which is, which that
The
I'm
only thing
sure
that
is.
she noticed that was a little odd was he uses the curtains as a towel.
Yeah, that was gross.
It's gross. But this goes back to the fact that these people have no manners, they have no
Right. And it's
etiquette,
like
anything.
there's a
So,
sink right there if you really need to clean off.
right? I mean, they basically live in their kitchen.
And like that just, it didn't really look comfortable at all. Like, number one, she was talking about how tight the dress was, like, and
But she
then
was
like,
eager.
yeah.
She was eager.
It's, yeah, I mean, you have to wonder, like, she, that's probably her first time.
All the way. I'm thinking the cousin stuff is probably maybe third base, fourth, you know, third base-ish. Yeah.
But
So
yeah, it's like,
she
and then,
finally figures out she notices the
yeah, and
scar.
then he's like, all right, well, I got what I wanted,
Yeah.
so
But
let's
what does she do to check? She doesn't ask, she doesn't assume. She throws on her Pip-Boy, which registers radiation, and she's, you're from the surface. And then she finally figures out raiders, but at the same time we hear screaming
Well, and
because
it's like, okay, they've got the they came in wearing vault suits, and then they change into raider armor, which
I
is
think they may have
basically
had it on
nothing.
under because they all just kind of like lost their tops, I think, because they still had like vault pants on,
It's
but
like,
they took off the tops and had on like their armor underneath, I guess.
with if they kept their vault suits on, number one, they'd make them a lot less, conspicuous. And yeah, and then they're just running around with like little shoulder pads and everything. I was like, wouldn't the vault suits provide more protection?
It would, but for the but I'm but I know visually, like for us, for the fight scene, we had to know who was a good guy, who was a bad guy.
Yeah, and at
And
the same
some
time,
did
it's
still have
probably a little
their,
bit
some
more.
did still have vault suits on, but we had to know. Plus, they look scarier with them.
Yeah, the raider outfits, I guess, would be more intimidating to
Yeah.
somebody who's never seen that before.
Right. They look
But
scarier. And then we knew, like, because, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to numbers and stuff. If you see like vault suits attacking vault suits, then you're just like, what is happening? But if you see raider armor at all, you know, then you know what's
yeah.
happening. So
Yeah,
I
that makes
know for a
sense. It's more
visual,
for the audience, I guess.
yeah, it was. It was more for the audience because,
But
yeah, that
it
was the whole
was,
like, oh, you know, we took a moment for a costume change.
yeah,
What?
but it was brutal. Like everything you saw in this, like, damn.
There were some very brutal scenes. I mean, using shooting people through someone else's head.
Yep.
That was kind of brutal. What was some of the other good
The
ones?
fork to the
The fork to the eye with for the poor pregnant woman, and then she just keeps on going. She was a little pissed though because they killed her husband.
Yeah, that
As
comes into
much as
play
she didn't
later.
seem to, I mean, she tolerated him. I don't know. Let's see, what else were there? Oh, I think the raider that was stuffing cake in his face before he
Yeah,
attacked and then left all that icing around his mouth
it's like a
made him
Joker
look like a
smile.
killer clown
Yeah.
was very creepy and on point. I mean, that was just a chilling scene where he comes, you know, he's attacking people and he looks like a clown face. So this is all going on, but Lucy has this incredible fight scene with Monty,
Yeah.
and she ends up, she thinks,
And
killing
she got a
him.
machete, which is one of the first weapons you get in the Fallout
She
games.
didn't keep it though. She
No.
threw it in the sink. So yeah, she gets the machete in her gut. You know, he stabs her
Yeah. So
and
you get to
she
see what a
breaks a
Simpak does.
pitcher and slices across his face. It assumed that she cut his jugular and he falls on the floor. It looks like he's dead. So she Stimpaks herself and of course she's all good. And then she goes out. She goes to the armory. It's been raided, and I think that's why she ended up with the
Yeah, that's
syringer
smart.
because there probably wasn't a lot to choose from at that point. But it seems to be her gun of choice because she still uses it later when she could have other options. So
Yeah.
she's syringing these raiders, and they're passing out, and which is great. You know, that's what they're supposed to do. And then Monty comes back. He finds her. Well, she saves her brother. Norm's hiding, but a raider finds him and is about to slice his neck. When she shoots that raider, she gets Norm into hiding, and then Monty finds her. He's about to strangle her when Dad comes along and shovels Monty to the ground and then drowns him in a vat of pickles for
Yep.
pickles. Monty will now forever be known as
Which
Pickles.
with those wounds that she gave him, I'm sure that was extra painful.
Right? That's the only thing I can think of is that, man, that vinegar's got to burn.
Yeah.
And that made me wonder, was Dad really born in a vault? Because how did he know? Like, you don't learn these things in a vault.
No.
You know, how to be like, unless it's because he watched so many TV, you know, hero movies. I don't know, maybe, but I'm like, boy, Dad had some gumption for being a vault dweller his
Yeah, because
entire
none
life.
of the
So,
rest of them really had any combat skills.
right. But then
But I
I'm like,
mean, Lucy
yeah.
did mention that she had some like MMA training at one
Well,
point,
she did
but
archery and yeah, she
yeah,
some other stuff. Yeah.
she
But
put somebody in an arm bar.
yeah, wrestling is, yeah. But it's like, okay, so maybe he was trained, but it made me wonder, like, well, maybe he's like the dad from Fallout 3, where he said he was born in a vault, but they really just showed up later.
Yeah, like I said, that's kind of what I was hinting at is that there are definitely some allusions to Fallout 3.
Yeah. So that makes you wonder because, you know, maybe that's why his combat skills were a little better or he was just a little faster on it. I don't know. But so they get all the raiders rounded up and put into holding cells, and they're just kind of trying to clean up. And
Yeah.
so then they get, oh, Hank gets a notification that there's a breach at the door, at the inner door, not the outer door, which is, you know, so they run off to check that out. And it's, well, you find out her name is Moldavar. Moldavar, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. And
Lee Moldavar.
That's the woman's name. And Hank even says, I think I know who you are. And she says, everyone knows who I am. And if he thinks he knows who she is, did he not recognize her like the minute she stepped out of Vault 32? Did like nothing like niggle his memory, or was he just so happy that his daughter was getting married that he just didn't think about it?
I mean, she also said to Lucy that she looks like her mom.
Right.
Which,
so how does she know them?
Yeah.
And if she knew them well enough to know what her mom looked like, then how come Hank didn't recognize her from the second she walked out of 32 and go, this is going to be trouble? But no, everybody was like, oh, let's go have a wedding. I'm just like, this is really strange. Like, what's with his memory? Like, now that we've had a big fight, he's like, yes, I do know who you are. But you didn't know before. The same person.
Yeah.
That I found a little weird. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I know who you are. But you didn't when you first watched. I don't know. I found that a little strange. So she's standing
like,
well, there.
It's like, why would you say that in front of everybody else?
Right? And then they're all like, thanks, Hank, you know. And so she's got 4 or 5 Vault 33ers with a bomb in the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants Hank to choose between them and Lucy. And of course, he chooses Lucy. You are my life. You are my everything, whatever he says. And he puts her in a door. He locks her in a room with a door with a window so she can see what's going on. But presumably this room is bombproof. How do we know this? Just because it's Vault-Tec, I guess, and all those, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the vault doors are pretty thick, so I don't know.
Right. So after after we get Lucy locked in the little room, Moldavar, that's when she tells her, you know, you look just like your mother, which, of course, Lucy's like, well, who are you? How do you know
right.
my people? You know, Moldavar, they trank Hank. And they take him. So now we're all like, well, what does she want with Hank? You know, I mean, he said he think, you know, that he knew who she was. What does she want with him? So we think that she's going to kill all these people, but she actually lets them go. She tells them to run. And then she sets off the bomb, which it looks like is sealing off the door to 32.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like. So that was a lot.
But in the end, we know that they left the vault, like, all together.
Yeah, those people did. Those people left the vault. And, you know, they took Hank with them. But that was a lot.
Yeah.
And that was, like...
Yeah, it's like, you have to watch these multiple times.
I think we're, like, not even halfway through the first episode, right?
No, because we still have
and
to
like, that was
flash
a lot.
To the ghoul and Maximus.
Right. So, of course, then we cut to... Maximus. This is like our next scene is Maximus. And he's getting the crap beat out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's in training. So they show us, you know, like a basic training camp type place with barracks and things like that. And this is where he's at. And, you know, you get some scenes of the camp and the Brotherhood flag. You see some kids smoking. So you know that like kids are being brought up by the Brotherhood in their doctrine, which we all know is a little messed up. And they're having class. So Maximus and his friend Dane go to
power armor training or something like that.
Well, it was their squire classes so that they could learn to identify pre-war tech for their knights, because that's their job, is to find the pre-war tech. And the squires have to know how to identify it to help them help the knights. Cause I guess, I don't know, the knights are supposed to know this too, but the squires have to help. So Max misidentifies, what was it? Circuits or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
And gets a fist to the face or something. So they're very harsh in their punishment. So we know Brotherhood is basically a cult. Very harsh, very militaristic.
Which I'm not part of the military, but I, from my understanding, that it can definitely get like that.
I feel like it's like on steroids, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like to punch somebody in the face because they misidentified something seems a bit much.
Well, and I mean, I don't know. If you watch Full Metal Jacket, a lot of that stuff happens, you know, off,
True.
quote unquote, off duty or like behind, like not like in public.
Right. I don't know. It's hard to say because I mean, like, I've never been through basic or anything like that myself, but it's, but it, you can see, like, you're getting the notion that Maximus is more interested in the power armor, being a knight. He's not so interested in those duties of like pre-war tech and like he's not so into the book stuff. He's more into like the doing stuff.
Yeah.
That's more his bag. He wants to get out there and do. He doesn't want to learn. And, you know, so we see them sitting in class and then we see the big shadow of what we've been told is the Kazwin coming in behind. And they all run out to take a look at it. And we see this really impressive scene of some T-60 soldiers marching towards them.
It's that shot from the trailer.
Yeah, with all the fog behind them. Makes them look like superstars, you know. Yep. And they just look like big studs. And everybody's like, whoa, man, that's really cool.
How, like, we get that Maximus's aspirations is to be one of them. Like, that's his whole goal, is to be able to do that.
Yeah, we see that, like, somebody's like, oh, man, what model is that? And he's like, it's 260. You know, like, he knows. He's all up on that. He knows. And even his friend says, man, I wonder what it'd be like to put one of those on every day. And you just have this look on Max's face like, yeah, that's going to be me. And, you know, this is like his whole thing. And then we see inside there. There's somebody on a radio who's getting codes and he's mapping on a grid a picture of their target. And I just thought that was cool. It's like he's playing Battleship, you know, because it's like H10, C28, you know, and but it's code and they're getting the coordinates on this graph where they're drawing a picture of their target. And this is who they're going to be sending the knights after for whatever artifact they're looking for now, which I thought was kind of cool. How they use that code, I guess, to be able to transmit the information. I mean, I guess, I don't know if it's like to keep it from other people having it. Otherwise, wouldn't they just like go line by line? I don't know.
You would think.
Because they had that guy like all over the grid. So I don't know. But you see Dane and Maximus go look at the power armor. Like they go to the little shed where the power armor is and it says like keep out and blah, blah, blah. But they go in there anyway and they check it out and they're oohing and eyeing over it. And you see close-ups of it and the power armor looks really good.
Yeah, it's great. And I love how it's practical effects too, not like Iron Man where it is just this cloth suit with, you know, motion capture on it.
Well, that's the thing. So I remember seeing something somewhere about the guys who built it, the company that built the power armor. And, you know, they were talking about like some of it's resin cast, some of it they printed, but they actually built it. And most of this stuff is built. It's not even Walton Goggins said like he thought he was going to show up and do a lot of green screen. And like, it's not green screen.
No, he said in like something I just watched that he was under makeup for 3 hours a day.
Right. Well, it was like started out like 5.5 and they got it down to like under 2, I think it was. And but can you imagine sitting for makeup that long? That's crazy.
No.
Every day that you have to shoot. And then like I guess the first day he was sweating out his eye holes because they were shooting in such heat. And you know, that's just man, it's dedication. But the power armor suit was like over 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
And they made it like you can walk around in it, like you can move, you can flex. And that was something that a lot of people noticed at like premieres and stuff, because they had that power armor there walking around. Like the guy's walking around with no issue. So it was really neat that they were able to make it, because honestly, I mean, in game it looks like it would be the most awkward thing in the world to wear. And I don't use it much in game, but in real life, I cannot imagine wearing it. But they made it work. and it looks so good in the game, and it's so realistic. The noises, everything is on point.
Yeah,
So they're
for
looking at
sure.
this power armor and they get caught, they think, but it turns out that they're
They're
looking
just
for
looking
the
at it. They're
they're
not,
looking for
yeah.
Dane. Somebody came looking for Dane because he has been summoned. So, you know, they leave and they find out that Dane has been promoted to Squire. So here's Max feeling a little passed
Bummo,
over and
yeah.
he's a little angry about it. He has a little hissy fit and he's on latrine duty and not loving it, of course, because everybody's over there like congratulating Dane on his new promotion. And then we see the next morning that somebody blades Dane's boot and screws up his foot. So now he
Which,
can't
who does
go.
that?
Looked
Like,
so painful.
oh my God, yeah, that was awful.
It looked brutal. It looked brutal because I can only imagine like where it was positioned in the boot. It probably cut a tendon and it, I can't imagine.
Which didn't Maximus take the fall for it?
Well, they blamed him and they carried him off in a blindfold, you know, to go be questioned. And that's where that scene
Right.
ends, is they blindfold him. They basically, like, he responds to his friend because he hears him scream and he's like, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on? He runs to his friend and they walk in, you know, the whoever they are, the head people. I don't
Yeah.
know. I don't know my ranks. I'm sorry. They come in and they see
Paladin.
Maximus standing over Dane and they just look at him like, oh, we know this was you, which is awful to assume, you know, he's guilty before proven innocent or per whatever, guilty before
Yeah.
proven guilty. I don't know. And they drag him out with a hood on his head. And you're just like, okay. You know, other people could have done that, but no, it
Yeah, it's
was
like, so I
they had
guess
it
he
in their
wasn't
head
the
that,
one of the people congratulating Dane.
yeah, but it could have been him. And you know, and it kind of made sense because he was not at present at the party. You know, he was having his little pity fit
Pity
for
party, yeah.
himself. You know, so it, by all accounts, it made sense that it could have been him. But I had a hard time believing it was him. And you know, but
Yeah, because they were like best friends.
they were. And so,
So,
you know, you're asking yourself, did he do that? Did he like,
no,
but
I
then who
didn't buy
else would have
that.
done it? You know, so you're thinking about this, and we go into the next scene where we're back in Vault 33 and everybody's just painting over the blood and putting up new posters and da 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 cleaning up. You know, Lucy's stapling up her cut, which, you know, looks painful
Awful.
but
Yeah.
necessary. And so they have a meeting about what to do, you know, and how to move forward. And Lucy wants to go find her dad. She says, let's go to the surface and find my dad. And everybody's like, oh, clutch my pearls. We can't do that. We've never
Again,
opened the
another
door
Fallout
before.
3 illusion.
Yeah. It's Vault 3. Like, we've never opened the door before. We can't do that. And her brother says, well, if they find dad, then they don't get to be in charge. So they're not going to want to do anything like that. And he had a point because, you know, you could see how they just kind of boom, took over as soon as dad was gone. They were
Yep, they were
already
pretty quick
vying for
about that.
control.
Yep.
They were already like the three of them were, you know. And if somebody said, thanks, overseer, like they would all answer, oh, you're welcome. And it's like, okay. So Lucy decides that she's just going to go. And she gets her brother and Chet to cover for her. And Chet opens the door and she goes to leave. Now, Chet says he's going to go with her, but Lucy tranks him and says, no, you're going to stay. I'm going alone. So this is why we all thought there was a dead man next to the door when she left, because it was poor Chet laying on the ground
Yeah.
unconscious because she had tranked him, so he couldn't go with her. So thank God Chet was not dead like we all thought he might have been. But considering that we had seen fighting in the vault, we weren't sure. We were like, yep, somebody
Yeah,
died.
it's just there's so much we didn't
There
know.
was some misleading, yeah. And
It's
you
like
know.
I thought that it was some sort of riot. Like I thought maybe that whole thing had to do with what the vault experiment was that just
Right.
drove everybody crazy.
Yeah, or that they found
And
out they were running out of food or some other thing,
yeah.
which we did find out. Was this now or was this later? I don't see it in my notes, so it might have been later, but sorry, I won't talk about it. but she leaves. So
Yep.
she leaves and she walks out, and it's like walking out the vault in Fallout 3. It's like leaving 101 where the sun is in your eyes and you have to get adjusted and you're looking around and you just see destruction around you. She sees buildings that are destroyed, but for the first time, we see these Pompeii-esque bodies, these ash bodies.
Yeah, the skeleton is like straight out of Fallout 1 when you
Yeah,
die,
right.
which was really cool.
We see skeletons, because we all know that people tried to get into the vaults but weren't allowed in. So there are always skeletons outside the vaults because it's the let me in, and then they die there. But we see a lot of these ash bodies from probably the days of the nukes, from people being vaporized from where they sat or stood. And we see a lot of that outside of the vault. And that's new. We've not seen that before in the games where we have these ash bodies. And that's a little creepy. And so she starts walking around and she hears something that she's probably never heard before, except maybe on a recording. We hear the ocean. So she sees the ocean for the first time. And we see in the distance the Santa Monica Pier that was teased in posters and previews and everything else. So we know that she's near Santa Monica. And she just says, okie dokie,
Which has become her
which is
catchphrase.
her thing, and it can be like, okie dokie, this is going to be great, or okie dokie, let's do it. This is where we're at. But I feel like her okie dokies, it's kind of like the I am Groot for Lucy.
Kind of.
It changes meaning
Yeah.
as time goes.
Okie
Okie dokie. Like, it has a different meaning every time she says it. So it's kind of like her I am Groot. So now we go back to Max, and he's being interrogated. And it's revealed that he was taken in by the Brotherhood as a child.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
they
because you
talk
see him
about,
coming out of a fridge like
yeah.
Billy in
Like he was
Fallout
Billy
4.
on Fallout 4 or Indiana Jones or something. But
Yeah.
so they tell him, we gave you a name, we gave you a home. And so
The thing is,
he's,
we don't know what that scene's from yet.
we don't know,
Like
right?
you
We don't
kind of
know
like you hadn't
why he
seen
was in
any
a fridge. Yeah.
explosions other than the nukes. So it's like this can't be 219 years in the
Right. That's the
past, but
thing. Yeah.
when,
That's
like,
what.
what is going on here?
Yeah, that's the thing that was like, so like, why was he in a fridge? Why do we see this little snippet of him coming out of the fridge look like a nuke zone or whatever? Like, why is this happening? Because we know this kid's like probably in his 20s,
Yeah.
not 200 and something. So it's interesting that we're being teased at something that happened in the past that we don't know the full story of. And it gets your brain going. And we're still wondering, did Max do it? Everybody asks him and he says, no, I didn't do it, but he does say, I wanted it to happen,
Yeah.
which is two different things, but yet, it makes you wonder, like, well, we don't know anything about his mental state. Do you think he did
Right.
it and dissociated? Like, I don't know, So but I love how like the T60 knight comes up behind him and says, speak, and he's very intimidating.
Yeah, the way he's like looming over him. It's like,
Right.
okay,
Because
dude,
of
we get
course we know
it.
he's a huge, big knight, and he's got this very deep voice coming out of the voice box, which is obviously enhanced by the suit.
Yeah, which they do kind of tend
But
to
it's
like
so
it
cool.
does like mask the voice a little
It
bit.
does a lot, which comes into play later a
Yeah.
lot to benefit, but it's just a very cool scene. It's very impressive. But there's one line that I liked that the elder, I guess he was, is I shouldn't keep saying him the
Yeah.
higher up, is the elder. He says, Violence is a tool to bring order to the wasteland, but violence against a brother of steel is a sign of weakness. Which I kind of liked, because they're like, basically, it's okay to use violence against others, but you don't use violence against your kin, basically. Yeah. Which, you know, we all know that that's true, I guess. You know, it's like, use violence when necessary, but not any other time, I guess, is what we're getting at. And Max is kind of accepting the fact that he's probably going to be killed for his actions, even though he says he didn't do it. And
do
so,
we need to take a break at all with this? Just thinking, like, I don't
probably.
Know they, yeah. Sorry.
All just right. Like,
in fact, I will
thought.
Be
we'll be right back.
Back.
Hi, welcome to Three Count Thoughts. Let me introduce the crew real quick.
Hi, I'm Maverick Stone.
I'm Romer.
And I'm Jaxus. Join us as we talk all things wrestling. Each week, we'll take a topic from the wrestling world, knock it around a bit, and then go over the week in wrestling from a strictly fan perspective. We can be found on all major podcast catchers. We can also be found at Three Count Thoughts on both YouTube and Twitter. Or you can send us an email using 3countthoughts@gmail.com. Okay, are you ready?
Ring the bell.
We back.
We are back.
All right. So we were talking about Maximus getting grilled by the elder.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he's starting to accept his fate, basically. Though he keeps proclaiming his innocence, it doesn't look like anybody's going to believe him. So it's like he turns the table. And he thanks the elder cleric for his guidance and giving him his life. And then he asks that his life, or basically his death, be given meaning. And he thanks mm-hmm. them for doing that. He mentions Eden, I think, at some
I think
point. Like
so.
In his speech, because he says something about Eden. And I don't know if it's a reference to Garden of Eden, like if that's part of their ideology, or if it's actually President Eden, because isn't that earlier than this?
Yeah.
And isn't he gone? So that's why I was kind of confused.
Yeah, there's not really multiple endings in Fallout 3, like there
right.
is in 4.
So I was like, he gone. So I was like, I didn't
but
know
I guess,
the whole.
Do you have to? You don't have to shut him down, do you?
No, you can go out and go along with his plan to put FEV in the water.
So I guess there are a couple of different ways you can do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I talked to him and told him to destroy himself, but I guess you could leave.
Too.
You could leave. I forgot the name of the stupid place.
The vault. Well, it's the enclave.
All I can think of is Black Rock, and that's not right.
But no, Bleak. Is it Bleak Rock?
No.
Yeah, that's Skyrim or Bleak Falls.
Starts with an R, I think. Anyway,
Raven Rock.
Raven Rock. Thank you, because I'm like Ragnarok.
That's,
like,
yeah,
no,
that's another
that's
Elder
like
Scrolls
world.
Name.
I'm just like, it always calling it like complete blank. Raven Rock. So you can leave that intact, but. You know, I blew mine up. So yeah. I don't know if that's another reference, but so I guess being a computer, I guess he could live forever and be the president forever.
Yeah, he's an AI mainframe.
Because he's AI. Yeah. So I guess he could be the president for a long time. And that's the only place that I caught reference to him. So, and I don't even know if it's a real reference. So that's an interesting little thing. So as he makes these statements where he's basically like, he knows he's going to die, whatever, it turns out that he ends up being given the promotion that Dane lost because he can no longer fulfill those duties. And so the look on his face is hard to read. And a lot of people are giving Aaron Moten some crap because they're like, oh, his performance was bland. He's not that great of an actor. I personally disagree.
No, because I mean, he grew up in the Brotherhood.
He did. That's
pretty much all he knows.
It is. And of course, his naivety, everything comes from the fact that he was raised by the Brotherhood and he has not learned anything of the outside world. He's indoctrinated by this cultish religious sect. But the fact that you never really know what's going on with him and that he is very manipulative is, I don't think, is easy to play. And that comes from somebody that you always know what's going on. I mean, like, I wear my emotions and, you know, unfortunately, my thoughts are like, you know, I feel like there's thought bubbles above my head sometimes, unfortunately, because like, you always know where I stand. And that's, you know, so I guess I kind of admire that he can do that, because nobody knows what's up with this dude the whole time. It's like his expressions are hard to read. I don't know if that expression of relief on his face was relief that he wasn't going to die, you know, relief that he was going to get this position and that his gamble paid off or what. I don't know. It was interesting. But he then goes to visit Dane in the little medic tent or whatever, and they have a discussion, and Dane says that he doesn't think it was Max who hurt him because he knew that Max wouldn't hurt a fly, which Max gives him a funny look.
It's like, we're Brotherhood, we're trained military.
Right, and that's the thing is, it's like, well, telling somebody that I'm not going to hurt a fly isn't exactly going to get me this promotion.
Right.
Weirdly, because that wouldn't, I mean, that sending somebody into the wilds and like saying I can't hurt a fly is not great, but again, with the unreadable expressions. So then we see Max being branded by Knight Titus, and he swears to protect him as his duty and to take care of his knight. And there is a comment made that got everybody like, oh my God, well, me anyway.
Was the branding established before this? I don't really know.
Were squires a thing before this?
Well, yeah, I think squires were a thing.
Because I don't remember ever seeing knights running around with their little peons running behind them with those big bags.
Yeah, I think that you can get a squire in Fallout 4, if I remember right, because I did.
Well, I didn't do the Brotherhood, so in Fallout 4. Yeah.
With my last playthrough with the Fallout feed, I was assigned Brotherhood, which I'm so ready to finish that playthrough. Well, hopefully with the update.
I wonder if with the update, if you'll be able to transfer progress over, or if you have to.
I hope so. I think it's just an update. Like, I could be wrong, but yeah, you can get a squire through that quest line, but I don't remember hearing anything about the squires being branded by their knights.
Yeah, but it could just be like a West Coast thing. Like, maybe it's not all factions, just theirs, like groups or whatever. So there's that. I don't know, but he gets branded, and apparently they all have their initials on their power armor because he gets a T for Titus. So I'm assuming that if it's like Knight Leon, he's going to have an L on his hand and he's going to put L's on his squires. I don't know. That's the only thing I could figure, but
yeah, but that does come into play later on. The identifying markers on the power armor.
Right. So we see him get branded, and we find out the Alder says that they're getting their orders from the highest clerics in the Commonwealth. So we know that there's still Brotherhood in the Commonwealth, which is Fallout 4, which, as we were just talking about, you can destroy the Brotherhood in Fallout 4, if you so desire, if you want to play the Minutemen quest, which I did, or if you want to play the Institute ending, which I know Gingerino did, you would destroy the Brotherhood. Yeah. So is this them saying that the Brotherhood ending is the canon ending of Fallout 4?
May just be remnants that,
or maybe
that weren't on the Pridwin.
But it is definitely interesting.
That's actually something I missed, was them mentioning the Commonwealth at first. Because that's another thing.
I caught that right away.
Really,
I was like, Commonwealth.
watching it with closed captioning, you do pick up a
well,
lot
you do see a lot
as well,
because the things that you don't hear, you read.
Yeah.
If you have good closed captioning, because sometimes closed captioning cracks me up because it misspells yeah. and doesn't hear things right. My son always watches with closed captioning on, and I'm like, oh my god, turn this off! It's driving me crazy because I don't.
Like you understand the language.
I feel like you miss a lot visually if you just sit there and read a movie. That's why I'm not in love with foreign films, because you read the whole thing and you don't see the action, and I feel yeah. like there's so much more to see than read. But that was a big thing for me. Was I was like, oh, we still have Brotherhood in the Commonwealth, who apparently is higher on the food chain than these guys because they're giving orders. So I found yeah. that very interesting. And the Enclave exists because
yeah,
we, you know, our mission here is to find an escapee from the Enclave and its companion. And we get to see that grid picture that they were working on earlier in the show with the codes. And it is a picture of someone we saw from the previews and a dog. Those are the target for Knight Titus and his squire, Maximus. So we get this very comical grid picture, wanted poster, basically, of the target.
Yeah.
So we know who they're going to be going after. And this is this Enclave scientist who has some kind of artifact that apparently whoever gets this artifact is going to be in control of the wasteland. And so we don't know what it is, but you know, that's going to unfold. Now the bags that these squires carry, they could literally crawl inside. They're huge.
It's so huge, yeah.
It was hilarious.
It was
and
great.
I think it, I don't know if it's like to kind of prove like how we all play the game when we're over encumbered
yeah,
and how much crap we carry
that,
around
like
in
how,
the game.
Like,
I don't
like,
know.
Because otherwise, where would that all go?
Right. Because, you know, we all know that we have the like little tiny backpack that carries literally like a mountain of crap in it.
More than
and I guess they're
weight,
just showing
sure.
that a little more visually than we do in the game. And of course, if you're a Fallout 76 player, with Fallout First, I believe it was with Fallout First, you get a little guy, a little light companion that is a Brotherhood scribe with a bag, much like this bag,
yep.
that you can put in your camp. And I haven't placed him yet, so I don't know what he does. But
I haven't either, but
cute.
I ended up getting that whole bundle.
Yeah.
And that shelter is awesome.
Oh my gosh, that shelter. Let's not talk about that right now, but oh man, it's amazing. And I don't know if you saw the pictures I put in the Discord. I went into someone's shelter and they had recreated Good Springs, and I was like,
yeah,
oh,
that was really cool.
I was in there for the longest time, dude. I was like amazed. So who, if you hear this and you're the one who did it, hats off, chef's kiss, dude.
Yeah, it
that
was
amazing.
Just like Good Springs.
It was amazing.
It was really cool.
I am in love. So now we go into the vertebrate. Oh, the vertebird. The vertebird was so cool. Titus
which
runs up and just does a little hop and jumps on in there, which was neat. But the vertebird and seeing the scenes from the vertebird was very cool. It
yeah.
looks cool.
Which
it has
now
Connor,
we know who
as Connor put it, the bubble yeah. vertebird.
Now we know who the guy is in the power armor from the trailers. So
well, we don't know who he is yet. We don't know who
and
he is.
Just
we
like,
won't see his face. We just know
off
he's in
his
there. But,
piece and he's like,
but he
here,
talks.
Clean this.
Yeah. And he's not very nice. He is not very nice.
This is when we pick up that he's a major asshole.
He is a kind of a bit of a. Yeah. Was that this scene? I think that was later. I think they're just flying. Yeah. I don't have any notes on that. So
yeah. Well,
think...
no. Maximus keeps trying to talk to him and he's
not
really
yet.
Saying anything.
Not yet. That's later. That's.
Am I getting confused here?
Yeah. Because I don't have notes on it. And I know I took notes on that. So it has to be episode two. When he tries to talk to him, I think they just fly off. They just get in it and fly off.
Okay, and then it switches to the.
So it's episode two where you actually they're having that conversation. You find out what kind of a turd he is. Spoilers: he's a turd. If you haven't seen episode two yet, which I'd be shocked. But so we then switch to what seems like it could be the Bayou, which I'm hoping, because does that tease Fallout 5 in New Orleans? Please, please.
That would be amazing. I'd love to see.
Although somebody else is saying San Francisco, and I'm like, eh. But okay.
I mean, we've had Fallout games in California. And
I know.
It's like, I would love to see
New Orleans.
Like Fallout 1 or Fallout 2 with today's graphics.
Yes.
But it's kind of like,
and I would love to see it as a not top down.
And I mean,
I
this
see it
is
as a first player,
this
first
is
person.
My personal take. Everybody is like, I want another New Vegas. I want another New Vegas. We've been there, done that. I want something mm-hmm. new, like Fallout in either Florida.
I
want to
see other places. Yeah,
like New Orleans. New Orleans would be amazing.
Like, think of that, not the cryptids, but like the mutated animals we could have.
Yeah.
Think about the raiders that you would have, because they'd all be like these voodoo priestesses and stuff.
Yeah, that's why I'm especially, I would love New Orleans.
The bosses, the locations. I mean, it'd be amazing, but this is not a Fallout New Orleans wish list episode. But
no.
It looks like this is where we are. Now, we could also be in Texas or some other random place, but it looks like New Orleans. And I'm not going to lie, the guy who ends up talking later sounds Cajun to me, but okay. Mm-hmm. But the first thing that we see that makes my little heart happy is the guard is shot and killed by a baby doll leg. I love it.
Right?
It's so cool.
I had to rewind that because I was like, wait a minute, did I just see what I think I did?
Right? I was like, wait a minute. Was that a baby doll? Like, we're just dying because we're just like, that was perfection.
Yeah.
That
like
was so
if you've
good.
Ever played with the junk jet, you can kill people with a bundle of bills. You can kill people with a teddy bear.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's so
it's
much
literally
fun.
A junk jet. Anything that's junk, you throw it in there and you kill people with it. It's so
Which
great.
Which also helps with your encumbrance level.
Right.
Because you don't have that and you're not carrying a bunch. You can use all the crap that you're carrying around.
Well, and it helps with your ammo, because you literally just pick up anything and throw it in there and you've got ammo. So that was pretty cool. But we find out, listening in on the conversation from these three gentlemen that are sneaking onto this compound, that a man named Don Pedro digs up a ghoul once a year and cuts pieces off of him and then puts him back in the ground. Sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fun
Frankenstein.
Time. Yeah. And then we see a grave with IVs hooked up to it. And we're not sure like what these IVs are connected to in the ground. And I'm not sure what they're giving him. What do you think? I mean, obviously not Radaway. Or is it?
Probably the
could it be?
Drugs that he's always taking, I would assume.
Yeah, but so if they give him Radaway, maybe that would keep him from going feral. Maybe.
They never really say. Well,
they
I mean,
don't.
They
and I tried reading the labels on the IVs.
But
I mean, so their concern is that he's feral. And so they're like, no problem. I brought a chicken. And this is new lore. I didn't know this. That if you bring in chicken, a feral duck can't abide chickens and they'll go after him. So that must be new lore.
The question I had with the chickens is, why are they normal?
Right.
Like,
well, they're
just like normal.
Well, they're
chickens.
Normal in 76. They're just like their feathers have fallen out.
Yeah. Like
but this
they
one
look
had
like
feathers.
Everyday chickens.
So that is a good, maybe it was a, you know, maybe it was a synth chicken. We don't know about synths yet. So
no,
I don't know.
Which it'll be a while.
But that's a great question. I had another question about that in episode, I don't know, 2 or 3 about a deer. So I don't know why he's in the coffin hooked up to IVs, but they dig him out and, you know, he comes out. And of course we see Walton Goggins for the first time as the ghoul, and he looks good. And of course he's just perfection. Everything mm-hmm. he says, everything he does, you know, he stands there and he cricks his neck because he's been down there for a while. He's just perfect.
He does subtly change his voice as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can definitely tell a difference from when he's Cooper Howard and when he's the ghoul. You can tell. And the way that he acts, subtle movements, just different things that he does. And just that's pretty cool. And then I love the part where he goes, he licks his lips And then he picks up the chicken, and the guy's all nervous, and he's like, "Does that count? Does that count? Should I shoot him?" And that was pretty fun.
Yeah, you get this. You know, he has a reputation,
right? So. Because that's why they're there. He was the best bounty hunter, is what you know. And Honcho says that there's a bounty on this enclave escapee. Well, he has a different sketch, but it's the same guy with the dog that he shows him, and he says that it's not so much where he's running from, but who he's running to. That's interesting. And he says something about the witch Moldaver, whatever her name is, which I found a little interesting because there's a question I have about her that I'll bring up later, but he calls her a witch. And I don't know if he just means that in a derogatory term or if that's like a literal term. I don't know. But I thought that was interesting. And he said that she's in California, and he says, "Isn't that where you're from?"
Yeah. Yeah, so they do.
So
know
they're not
in
California, so we know that. And then the ghoul's like, "Why should you care, or why do you know where I'm from?" Or something. He's kind of like, it triggers him. He's a little not happy about that. It kind of really annoys him. And so then he goes on about, because Honcho had already said, "This will be my last job, my last big break."
Mm-hmm.
And the ghoul runs with that and says, "Oh, yeah, this will be your last job. I can tell that your heart's not in it." And then he says, "I do this shit for the love of the game."
Yep.
That's the difference between the two of them. And I love that comment. "I do this shit for the love of the game." I thought that was so cool. And then he goes about
great lines in this.
Oh, he does. And then he goes about just, you know, wiping them all clean. He throws Honcho in the ground in his coffin. And then he makes a comment to him, "Well, the pay wasn't what you expected, but us cowpokes take it as it comes," or something like that. And,
which is kind of an allusion to earlier.
Well, and it ties in, that was his persona in his movies, that he was a cowpoke. Yep. And now he's kind of living out his persona. That's his, you know, he was a sheriff, I guess, in the movies, and now he's a bounty hunter.
Something like that. Yeah, he was basically John Wayne.
Yeah, and he did. He pulled from some of those old spaghetti westerns to make his character.
Yeah.
To kind of emulate these older western heroes that we had back in the day. And so, you know, he walks off, he leaves we close with the chicken clucking, and then we see Crawl Out Through the Fallout being sung, and we see I like that their little closing scenes kind of allude to the next episode, I guess.
Yeah.
But they do show the Santa Monica Pier with a man sitting there, and then you see a bright flash, and then you see the man is a skeleton, and then it pans out and you see all the destruction and Vault 33 and things like that. So their little sketches at the end are kind of cool.
I gotta say, I love the music in this. Like, every song, whether it's part of the games or not, just fits so well with what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, like, I like the something about coffee hot or something when Lucy and Monty are on the table and on the kitchen table, you know, doing their thing, like something about the hot coffee. I mean, just everything just fits perfectly. And it's, or it just either that, or it has that perfect juxtaposition where you're kind of like, this doesn't really work. You're like, what is happening? Like, they'll play a peppy song, but you see a fighting scene, or something, and it's, you know, and it's so Fallout.
I wish that Civilization had been in this, which, I mean, I guess, you know, we can just say, yeah, that song's not in the show.
Is it not? Okay. Because I actually have a list, because I was looking up. I Googled the songs. So there's a list that shows every soundtrack, every song, and when they play. So maybe Civilization's not on there. But I was surprised at how many songs they did use from the movies. And then I looked up the ones. Nope, I don't see it. But they used a lot of ink spots, which was great, because I pretty much any ink song, any ink spot song I hear is like, that's a Fallout thing.
They had another whether it was or not of 16 tons at one point, which was great too.
They do.
It wasn't Tennessee or any Ford, but it was
16 tons. It's on here.
Yeah, I think it was toward the end of the show.
Merle Travis. But they have a lot of platters and the ink spots. And then, of course, they put It's a Man in there, which is one of my favorite songs. But there's a lot of good stuff. And, I love the music. I got so turned on to Fallout, like these songs, you know, the big band era, a lot of 50s stuff. Just by playing these games, got turned on to a lot of the music, and they used a lot of good stuff. And I've added some of it to my personal soundtrack. And they even tell you All Over Again by Johnny Cash. This song plays during the Brotherhood of Steel's anointing celebration.
Yeah, they had a lot of Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm. Probably because of the, I feel like they used a lot of him in Fallout New Vegas. So probably because it is out west, they used a lot more. Keep That Coffee Hot. That's what it is. Keep That Coffee Hot by Scatman Crothers. This song plays as Lucy and Monty are having sex after their wedding. So it's right there. let's see. Brighter Side. This song plays as Lucy is putting on her vault suit and preparing to exit the vault. Yeah, there's so many things packed into this episode. I felt like there was just a lot for this, just this first hour, like so much was packed in. But I know they had to do a lot to, you know, right in your face, get your attention, especially for fans, to give so much to fans.
Yeah, and non-fans alike.
Right.
They had to really
to draw in non-fans. Yeah. You know, it couldn't just be like, oh, here's for all the fans, and all the non-fans are like, I don't know what's happening. You know, it had to be good for both. And I felt like they did. I know a lot of people who I've heard people who are not fans that are watching it, and they're just like, this is amazing.
Friends who never really played the games who've been watching it, and it's like, oh, this is what you've been playing.
So one of my friends texted me and was like, I've been watching the Fallout shows, I've never played the games, but this is amazing. And like, he knows I'm a big Fallout fan. And you know, he was just like, this stuff is so good, and he might start playing. And I know a lot of people have been playing the games. I mean, how many newbies have we seen on 76?
Oh my god. I was playing with Kaju Kittens last night, and a lot of the people on the server were under level 50.
Like, I had a guy on my team the other night playing. That was level 17. And when he got to my camp and found all my little tin cat plans, it was like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
I went to help somebody who was level 10 doing Grafton Day, and they were still like in the vault suit and the party hat. And like, you know, of course I dropped a bunch of plans for them afterward, and I like, gave him a little come over here emote, and he gave me the little heart one after that. It's like,
right.
You know,
and it's, and for us, I've been playing since, you know, beta or, you know, release or whatever. I mean, the game's been out for 5 years, so no matter how long you've been playing, you know, if you've been playing for a while, it's always cool to see new people coming in, and you remember those times when people helped you and you're like, yes, let me, you know, pass it on. But
it's like, you know, so many other communities are like completely toxic with new people, and they go, shut up, noob, get good. No, it's the complete opposite with
it
Fallout. And we're like, oh, I see somebody at the vault, let me go drop a bunch of shit off for them to help them out.
Yeah, because you always, like, if you're like, if I'm fast traveling to Fallout 76, to the vault, to Vault 76, because it's a free spot, and it's like, oh, I'll fast travel there, it won't cost me as much to go elsewhere on the map. That's a tip, by the way. You know,
take advantage I'll see of the that there's a bins as well.
You see that there's a level one at the vault, and you always hit level two as you come out. So you're like, oh, they're going to be coming out. There's somebody coming, you know. So it's like, sometimes you just hang around and wait for them. But now that they have the little box out there for the freebies, so like, I'll go up there and I'll just dump in some stim packs, because Lord knows, you know, because they're going to get attacked by ghouls. Whether they turn right or left, they're just going to get attacked by ghouls.
Yeah, and it used to be liberators, and they changed.
It used to be liberators, which were horrible because those laser shots are.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, they're going to get attacked. So it's like, dump them some stim packs, give them a little, you know, a little level dependent weapon, which unfortunately I don't usually have anything on me except, you know, something like a knife or something they could use, because any guns I have on me are not going to be not going to be good for a little noob, because you can't use them if they're
right.
You're level 2, you can't use anything that's even a level 10 until you hit level 10. But if they choose to come out of the vault at level 20, then different.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I usually just drop off like of 8 items.
Level 2 and we had nothing, and we
right
and ammo and stim packs.
And if you didn't, if you went to the left instead of the right, you didn't find the little 10 mil pistol on the yeah. dead responder. So like you right. didn't even have that,
and you didn't even have the NPCs outside the vault that gave you a weapon.
Right, because there. Well, when I came out, there were no NPCs.
Right, exactly.
There was none at all in the wasteland. There was just robots that wanted you dead.
Yeah. So
there was no wayward where you could go down there and get told how to build a camp. No.
Nope. There were no live responders.
I mean, the game has changed so much, and it really is very new player friendly.
And I
know
I'm
a lot
so
of people
glad.
Hate that about it, but you know what?
Yeah. And I'm so glad that there's this show now to kind of introduce people to the world that wouldn't really know about it otherwise.
Right. Yeah, because that's like what my friend was saying. He was like, I know you love this game and I know you play it all the time. He goes, I've never played the game, but, you know, he's just like, now that I've seen the show. And I said, and I told him, I go, well, I said, Fallout 76 is free this week. And he goes, boy, they know what they're doing. And I'm like, yeah.
Also baby. Free week of first.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you know, just play it and try it for free. Yeah. And if you like it, then you just keep going, you know? And there's, I'm sure somebody knows somebody who plays. Or if not, you know, you can get on Twitch and watch somebody playing 76 on Twitch. And how many times do you see that people are just like, oh, let me join your server. We'll play together. And everybody's like, cool, cool. Let's do that. I mean, that happens all the time. Half the people I've met is because I've jumped in on their server and played with them, you know? And I mean, I used to have a group of my own that I played, but people do different things. Their schedules don't jive. I had a friend I played with in Australia and we could like never get together. And now I just like jump in on other people's servers when they're streaming and stuff, and it's cool. So, and like we've both said, and we both do, like there, you will never not find someone who's willing to help.
Right.
I mean, exactly. There's always people that are like, oh, well, what's your build? You know, if you're struggling with this, what's your build? Maybe I can make a suggestion on how you should arrange, you know, like what perk card you would need that would help you with that. And, you know, and even if you're like, well, I don't really feel comfortable running around with you because you're level, you know, a thousand or whatever. I run around with a guy who's like level, what is he now? 72, 300 something.
I think he's close to 7,700.
Okay. Knight Taylor, my buddy Knight Taylor is like almost level 8,000, but he will run around with little babies and help them, you know, because he has maps and he'll take them around to show them where the maps are, because those maps are full of junk and money and armor and guns and things that can help them progress in the game or level up, or they can sell it and make more money for things they want. This is what he does. And if you don't have it, he probably does. He'll give it to you. You don't need to trade him because he probably doesn't need it. That's just who he is. That is his, he role plays as a Brotherhood of Steel. And that's his thing is to help people. And I'm level, see, I was running around with him with my level, not quite 200 character. And one weekend playing with him for a few hours, I went up like 24 levels. So if you want to level up, he's your man.
definitely look him up.
But we're on PC. But there's also people like this on Xbox or a PlayStation.
Reason why I know is he posted something on the on Twitter where he passed level 7,600. It's like, how do you do this?
And I'm telling you, whenever
like 12 hours or something like that.
Like, whenever we play, he's a grinding machine because he knows all the buffs, all the lunchboxes, all the whatever, and then he knows the spots to hit. And it's just, if I play with him and I'm not even trying to grind, I will still go up several levels. just being, because, you know, you're in that area effect of like lunchboxes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you're still going to level up even if you didn't want to. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's a good time.
But yeah, I'm really glad that this is a thing. And it's introduced so many people to the franchise that wouldn't mm-hmm. have known about it otherwise. So.
Yeah, they're blowing up. And, you know, we kind of figured they would, but I think it's a little more than even I thought would happen. So it's cool. Yeah. It's cool. And I think I'm going to go play some 76 now since I got a free day today.
Right.
And do my interview.
I got to work, unfortunately. But
unfortunately, I tried to get him to play hooky so he could be on the interview with Zach Winfrock tonight, but he's a good boy.
Yeah, I've been catching a couple of his streams lately and been chatting with him on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knows who I am, but I mean, he probably doesn't. But
he's a cool guy. He's had a lot of people hitting him up on Twitch about what he thinks about the Fallout TV show. And I'm going to give him a break and we're just going to talk about his stuff. Like that was my intention, was to just talk about him and his projects tonight. If he wants to talk about the TV show, cool, but that's not.
Yeah, it should definitely
I want to talk about him.
I can't. Because
I want to pick his brain about like why, you know, how did he even come up with the idea to do what he did and how he made it possible. And I mean, just it was so good. If you've never seen Nuka Break, do yourself
definitely
a favor.
Watch it.
And catch Nuka Break.
Watched it recently. And it's not too long. It's only a couple
hours. It's really not very long. But it's one of the first fan-made Fallout films, we'll say, that was ever made. I mean, that Nuka Break's over 10 years old.
Yeah, it wrapped up over 10 years ago. So
yeah. And I started rewatching it and just like, man, this is so good considering, you know.
No, with it being a fan film, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like the makeup and special effects and everything. Like, and, wow. Yeah. Like he has an actual shish kebab.
Mm-hmm. And the makeup on the ghoul is very good. Yeah. Very, very good. And
there's
you know, some would say that maybe it's better than Walton's, but I know why they didn't go whole hog on Walton's makeup, because he's a character actor and his face is like his facial expressions and all of that are very much part of him. And they needed to be able to see his facial expressions. They couldn't put so much makeup on there and prosthetics that they couldn't allow his facial expressions to come through. So that was one reason why they didn't go too crazy on the makeup with him.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, just check it out. And it's on YouTube. You can watch it for free. So,
so good.
Yeah. I hate that I have to miss that.
Working on another project. So
yeah. Yeah. The follow-up more coming. So can't wait.
I loved his trailer at the end. He's like, let's do it again or something.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for episode one. I'm sure that our next ones won't be as long because you kind of get the idea of what
I don't know. There's a lot.
Yeah, I can't promise. Yeah, I can't promise. I can't promise because they're all packed. They're packed. And we have, I know that we both have some theories and some questions about things that are coming up.
Yep.
So we'll get on that. So enjoy. If you hate it, if you like it, let us know. You can send an email to followrtb@gmail.com. You can DM me at followrtb on Twitter, or you can DM me at sassylady1103 on Twitter, or you can get Sulior at
IanGold08 on pretty much everything. So
IanGold08.
And, you know, of course, there's the other shows. And they have their own. Just look for them. You'll find them.
So you'll find us. You'll know where to.
We're around.
To find us. We're everywhere. We're always around. You probably will run across us without even knowing it. So, all right, guys, enjoy and check back. We'll be working on the second episode soon.
Yep.
Take it easy.
Bye, everybody.
This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Are you a fan of Elden Ring? Are you confused about the lore as pretty much everyone else? we've got you covered. Check out the Elden Archives, a lore podcast that helps to explain every little confusing detail about the Lands Between. Things like what exactly happened on the Night of the Black Knives, or what we really know about characters like Mikola. Just like the show you're listening to now, we're on the Robots Radio Network, so you know it'll be good. Wondering how to find the show? Easy. Either go to robotsradio.net or search Elden Archives on whatever podcatcher you're using right now. Bookmark the show for later, and we'll see you in the Lands Between. Again, that's The Elden Archives, FromSoft Lorecast, available everywhere.